I'm very sorry, but I really want you to be eating the pizza while we record. Is that okay?
Go for it.
You know what? You should really treat yourself, Tess. You deserve to eat it, okay?
Okay, sounds
Okay.
good.
Okay. Oh my goodness. How's that pizza treating you, Tess?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Let's
The
watch the show that I asked Eric if I could finish the pizza before we started recording, and he just said no.
I
So.
said, no, you're not allowed to. I would prefer I think my words were, I would prefer you to eat the pizza while we record.
Yeah.
I actually don't hear. Here, wait, let me listen. Get a little bit closer,
Some
please.
ASMR chewing.
Yeah, I want some ASMR chewing, please. Can you lean into it? Let's listen. Thank you. I appreciate that. You are listening you're listening to the Same Team Y'all podcast. My name's Eric.
Name's Tess.
We're two librarian best friends who seek to maybe make your day a little bit better. We're hoping to talk about some stuff that we love. We got a cake challenge coming up, and we always learn life lessons along the way. And we made it to episode 59. How many have we done since we came back from the great, great hiatus? This is three or four, right?
Well, so the great great hiatus, I believe this might be like five or six actually, since the great great hiatus. Yeah.
Are you done your pizza?
I can be done with my pizza.
No. That wasn't me saying finish your pizza. That was more like, don't stop eating because of the cast.
Pizza.
Yeah, don't. That was me like, I want you to eat your pizza.
Just feel like we have a podcast and I'm like, let me just eat while we're talking.
I haven't been bringing cake to the cake challenge, but that's literally what the sh what that part is. We're supposed to be eating cake while
You're
we
right.
discuss it.
You're right. Now it's like pie challenge. I'm just eating
Yeah.
and talking and whatever.
How has your Fortnite been, Tess?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, my ankle's been really like, some days it's sore and some days it's not, and some days I need a cane to walk and some days I'm fine. That's been a little frustrating. But other than that, things have been going okay. We reopened the library, which I know,
Congratulations.
thank you. I know your library has been open for a while. And we just reopened like a couple weeks ago. And so it's been kind of fun to get back in the swing of things, of like actually interacting with
It's
customers again.
weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh, there's people here.
Excuse me, yeah, super weird. Like
I have
today,
to wear pants now.
someone wanted help on the computer, and it's really difficult to give quality like computer assistance when you are required to stay 6 feet away and not touch the same surfaces as them.
Do you know what our library gave us? This is the best.
What'd they give
They
you?
gave us pointers, like what's the word? Like telescoping, telescoping. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's
It
little.
sends out.
Yeah, and you can whip it out like this, like a baton. So like, if someone needs help, I'll be like, whoo, it's right over there. And when we first got them, it was like the new cool thing. Like we got a pointer. So like, I was using it for everything. So I would get my pointer out. And like if someone got like a new library card and I would use this like 4 foot long pointer to like slide it towards them. It was so stupid.
Yeah, that sounds fun. We don't have anything like that. And even if we did, there's sometimes where even then it's just still hard to like, we have a wide variety of people who use the library with a wide variety of skills when it comes to using a computer. And I was helping someone today and she had a very like low level skill set when it came to using the computer, like to the point she didn't know like which side of the mouse she's supposed to click. And so when you're trying to help someone in that situation, you can't be near them and you can't touch the same surface as them. It just becomes kind of this exercise in frustration for you and them. It's like, I'm really trying to help you, but I have to follow the rules and I'm sorry. Sorry the world is like this right now.
It's difficult because like as librarians, at least for you and I, like we're here to help people, but also in a way to make sure for not just us to be safe, but for them to be safe, that kind of like means we can't in some ways, right. You know, it's difficult. Yeah. I've got a quote here.
Is it inspirational?
It is. I have an inspirational quote. I printed this out on brown paper on accident. A coworker was using the printer at the same time as me and she had a craft. And I think she was disappointed when she saw this poem pop up. Instead of a beautiful tree craft she was working on, I was like, sorry. So, okay, let me adjust this. And I think this, so this is a quote. It's a short poem called Walk Slowly by Dana Faulds. It only takes a reminder to breathe, a moment to be still. And just like that, something in me settles, softens, makes space for imperfection. The harsh voice of judgment drops to a whisper. And I remember again that life isn't a relay race, that we will all cross the finish line, that waking up to life is what we were born for. As many times as I forget, catch myself charging forward without even knowing where I'm going, that many times I can make the choice to stop, to breathe, and be, and walk slowly into the mystery.
I like that. It's basically a poem about mindfulness.
It's like the mindfulness, but this is from Dana Faulds' book called Poems. Oh, Go In and In, Poems from the Heart of Yoga. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I like that. And also I just relate to walking slowly.
You know what? All joking aside, like, I know you're going to be like, forget this dude, but I think that more people can walk slower, right? Yeah. If anything, you get to savor the walk more. I know your ankle probably hurts too, so you don't see it that way. But I mean, really.
It's okay. I just, I will say there are days where I really miss going fast. Mm. Like there are days where there's just like something, you know, for instance, if you're trying to multitask, it's helpful to be able to move from one location to another location fast. But sometimes it's okay to go slow. That's okay. And you you might miss things if you're going too fast. And right. I've been thinking about mindfulness a lot lately because I read a book called I think it's called Peaceful as a Panda. It's a children's book. And it's all about...
Is it a picture book or a nonfiction?
It's a nonfiction book, but it has very beautiful illustrations in it. And it's about mindfulness exercises that you can do with children. And a lot of them are kind of like imagining you're an animal. So like for instance, there's one... where you imagine you're a panda eating bamboo. But they're all really great exercises. And she suggests, the author of the book suggests, that you find some that you like and you do them every day. Which sounded like a big commitment to me. So I haven't chosen any yet that I'm going to do every day. But some of them were really good, and not just for children, but if you're kind of new to the practice of mindfulness, it was good. There was one that she suggests where it's at night and you pretend that you have a box and you put, have you heard of this one? And you put your worries into the box.
You put them in the worry box. Yeah, I think I've read this book before.
Maybe you have, yeah.
I feel like, so every Thursday, I think is when like our new books hit like our new book in our library, like carousel on the website. So I'm always like, hold, you know, so you put your worries in the box.
Yeah. You put your, so you, she says, you know, right before you go to sleep, if you're having trouble sleeping because you're worrying about things, and even children can experience this, you say what you're worrying about out loud, and then you put the worry into the box. And then if you have another worry, you say it out loud, and then you put it into the box. And when you've said all your worries and you've put them all into the box, you close the box and you set it aside. And you're just not going to deal with that tonight. You'll deal with it tomorrow. So now you're supposed to be able to sleep more peacefully because you've set everything aside, your worries. So
I think that's a great idea. Like you put them in the box and you push them aside. One, a bonus step is those worries, then you say thank you to the worries because the worry, it feels like a bad thing because it's giving you stress. Look at your face. But that worry is just trying to take care of you, right? Like that worry is like trying to be like, oh, I want to make sure that I get this job done because I want Tess to be okay. So like in a way, like those things are trying to take care of you. It's like, thank you, but I don't really need you right now, you know? And to me, that helps. Like that level of like, once you accept it, then it's like, oh, I get it. Here it is in the box.
There was another one, just a real quick, another mindfulness practice that I really liked was while you're eating, thanking every step of the process along the way that brought the meal to you. So you can start with, oh, who cooked me the meal? I'm really thankful that they cooked me the meal. And then you can think, oh, well, where did we buy the ingredients for the meal? It was at the store. So we thank the people who work at the store. And then you think, oh, well, how did the food get to the store? It was probably driven there on a truck. So let's thank the truck driver. And then the truck driver probably picked it up at a farm. So let's thank the farmer. And then maybe we're drinking delicious milk. So we should probably thank the cow that made the milk. And I just love that idea of like we could just sit down and drink a glass of milk, or we could turn it into like this like thoughtful exercise. And I just love that.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And it's like, I don't know, I think it gives like perspective. Like it helps me like get out of my own headspace. If I think about like this, if we use the example of a glass of milk, of being so much more than just I put a thing in my body and now I'm still worrying about things, you know? And like a lot went into that process, right? To get the milk into my body. And then acknowledging that and spending time thinking about it then makes, I don't know, gets you out of your own headspace. So
speaking of loving stuff, should we talk about some stuff that we love?
No.
No.
This is the stuff that we love.
We love!
This is the stuff that we love.
We love it so much.
This is the stuff.
I like we're both doing shoulder dances.
I'm all about the shoulders today. If anyone is ever interested in what our fantastic dance moves look like, Tess, the official broducer? Sistucer?
I can be a broducer.
Yeah. Tess, our official broducer, posts the video and audio for these podcasts on our YouTube channel, Same Team Y'all. If you're ever interested in those things. Do you want to go first?
Sure, I can go first. I feel like, did I go first last time?
Well, how about this? And it's funny that it took us 59 episodes to think about this. Whoever does the quote, the other person goes first.
All right, that makes sense. So the first stuff that I'm loving is my friend Hannah. So I had this friend, Hannah, who I knew in high school, and she, hold on one second. I just gotta text Brett something really quick.
Here, I'm gonna text Amanda real quick.
Okay, I'm done.
No, that's okay.
Just behind the scenes, my dog is here. You might be able to hear her because the microphone is pretty. It's a pretty powerful microphone, but she can sense that food is near. That pizza I was eating earlier, and so now she wants it, and she is kind of just like sitting here whining. And so I'm asking Brett if he could come and take the
Oh, I away. See it. That beard's looking really good. Oh my goodness. Oh, I got a thumbs up from him. I like
it. So now Rosie is probably gonna pull up that food. Yeah.
Yeah. I just saw Rosie run out the door. Okay.
I'm so glad this is not a professional podcast.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. So my friend Hannah, we were friends in high school, and we were both in a youth group together, in a Christian youth group together. And
cool.
You might be asking yourself, Tessa, I thought you were Jewish. I am, but I
wait, were you a double agent? Is that what it was?
No, I basically just wanted friends, and I got invited to this youth group, and I went to a meeting and I made friends with the people there, and so I just kept going. And it was okay with them that I wasn't Christian. And I joined the praise group, and we sang Christian songs that I still love to this day. Like Refiner's Fire is my jam.
I mean, a good song is a good song. There's no way around it.
And now some things happened that we don't need to go into, but I eventually left the youth group, and that's how I met my friend Hannah, was in this youth group. And then years and years and years later, she contacted me via Facebook, and she said, hey, I live in Virginia and you live in Maryland. We should meet somewhere in the middle and get together. And I was like, yeah, we should do that, because we were like best friends. And then I thought to myself, when we were best friends, we were in a Christian youth group together, and my life kind of went a different way. And I wonder if she kind of kept on that path, if we're still gonna get along. And it turns out that we get along famously. Like her life also kind of took a different path. Anyways, we've stayed in touch. It's kind of one of those amazing things. Like now that we have the internet, you can stay in touch with people that you were.
That's right.
That you lost touch with. And so she and I have kept in touch, and she is now an art professor, and she's married and has a child, and she's really into making her own clothes. And because she's a very artistic person, like basically anything like artistic, she excels at. Like she can draw, she can do photography, she makes her own clothes. And I was admiring her clothes, and I said, wow, I wish, I'm not really like crafty like that. I can't make garments, but I love the ones that you make. And she's like, I'll make you a dress. And I thought that was amazing. And she made me a dress, and it's beautiful. And because she made it for me, it fits me perfectly, which is great, because I've put on some weight during the old quarantine, and a lot of my favorite dresses are currently not fitting me. And so the fact that she made the dress for my body as it is now, it fits me great, and it looks really nice on me, and it makes me feel good about myself. And a stuff that I was loving this past fortnight is the dress that my friend Hannah made for me. And the way that it makes me feel.
That is so sweet. It's amazing how, because I have some shirts that don't fit me anymore. And then I have some that are a little too tight, but I can wear. And then some that are comfortable. And it's amazing. If I wear some of those that are a little too tight to work, I don't think anyone can really notice. But like, it's amazing the way it changes the way you feel about yourself walking around in a little too tight clothes versus comfortable clothes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think... I think, the way our society is, it values a particular body type over other body types. And so you might start to like internalize that judgment and kind of feel guilty that your body is whatever shape it's in. But sometimes you don't have control over that. Sometimes it's related to like a health issue. Sometimes it's just kind of a natural fluctuation. Mm-hmm. And you shouldn't feel bad about it. But it is helpful if you have clothes that actually fit the body that you're in. And I think a lot of times people will like buy clothes specifically to like, I guess, inspire them to lose weight or something, which is fine if that works for you. But I will say I have a whole closet full of clothes that don't fit me right now, and I hate to look at them. And so, the fact that my friend went out of her way to create something that fits me perfectly has really been making me feel good this past fortnight.
That is awesome. That's a really good stuff you're loving.
Yeah, and she said that if I buy her fabric, she will make more garments for me, because she says I love to make things, but I don't love to buy fabric. And I love to shop, so I'll shop for fabric and just send it to her, and she'll make me some things. So she says she'll make me a skirt next.
It's a perfect match.
Yeah.
The stuff that I'm loving, so you know music stuff. You know, I'm not that familiar with names of music people.
Okay, yeah.
I think I've mentioned this band to you before, but it's worth a listen, because I spent some time thinking about what is the thing I'm loving. And if it's like legitimately of the past fortnight, the goddess has spoken. You know, I mean, you gotta, the thing you love is the thing you love. Have I mentioned to you the band Low Roar?
No.
I haven't. Oh, good. Okay. So I'm gonna hit this, and let's see if YouTube plays an ad or not. We're gonna see what's gonna, there's an ad about to play, so I'm gonna skip it.
All right.
Okay, here, wait. Can you hear that?
Yes.
Okay, let's listen to this together. So I'll talk a little bit. So I've been getting, oh, can you hear that?
I do, I hear it.
We'll just listen to it for a little bit. Okay. Just sit back and relax. It's gonna come back in a little bit here. Wait. Okay, I'm fading it out. It's gone. Oh, but wait, it's back. Lost and never found. Waiting for my way. Okay, I'm gonna put it away now. I'm gonna put it away. But wait, there's one more. Okay, so anyway. Low Roar is a band. We just listened to a song called I'll Keep Coming. It's on their Zero album. And I like to call it sad boy music.
Mm-hmm. I can see that for sure.
And I have very much been into music from Low Roar and other bands that have that similar sad boy sound. And I'm just very much into sad boy music right now.
So have you been listening to sad boy music because you've been a sad boy, or do you just like to listen to it?
Well, for the record, this is sad boy music. Boy is spelled B-O-I.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that was clear. All boys. It's weird.
Female boys, non-binary boys, genderqueer boys.
All the boys. Robot boys. No, I haven't been a sad boy, but something about... So this is going to tie into my next stuff I'm loving, so I don't want to spoil it.
All right.
But this music...
In a video game?
Features prominently in a video game, which I've been playing a lot of. So right now, stuff that I'm loving is Sad Boy music.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Brett also likes to listen to Sad Boy music. I feel like maybe his Sad Boy music might be a little different than yours, but it's definitely like the kind of same emotion that it's evoking. Sometimes I have to like watch out for him, because sometimes if you are a sad boy and you listen to sad boy music, it can make you feel even sadder. But sometimes it's just nice to, I don't know, sit in that emotion and then set it aside. So, yeah. Well,
it's funny you say that. So I've been dabbling in writing poetry.
Yes.
And I thought, if I'm really like depressed, I could write a poem about it, and like it, you know, it's better. Like you got it on a page. But I found it's actually the opposite for me. Like the more I go down that rabbit hole, the more I'm like obsessed over that thought. And so for me, that doesn't work that well. But like for me, Low Roar is less about for me being sad. And like, it's just really like chill. Like it slows me down. Like it slows me down. Like your broken ankle slows you down.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, like just kind of chills me out, you know? And it makes me...
Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, it makes me think of like walking at night, which is one of my favorite things to do, you know?
The clip that you played reminds me a little of a band that I like to listen to called Sigur Rós, and they're an Icelandic band. So after this episode, I'm going to send you some links to some of my favorite Sigur Rós songs that you might enjoy.
I would love that, actually. And I think, I could be wrong, but I think Low Roar is from Iceland as well. Or like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I think so. Here, I'm going to, you know what? I got an internet right now.
No,
Low?
Are.
Low Roar. Oh, did you? Oh, good job.
I already looked them up because I was listening to it and I thought, this sounds a lot like Sigur Rós. And I wonder if someone from that band is in this band.
Oh, sorry.
But I looked it up and they're also from Iceland. So I wonder if Iceland is just filled with sad boys.
Well, or maybe they're just comfortable being there. Like, because aren't they like one of those areas where like you might just have darkness for a couple days?
Maybe. Yeah.
If you have any listeners from Iceland,
please email us.
Please email us.
That email is sameteamyall@gmail.com. You could also, if you're from Iceland, tweet at us @sameteamyall.
I was
love to know more about your home country.
I was looking at our Twitter. What's it called? The Twitter feed. Uh-huh. And I really like the post that you made about the 9 different ways to rest. You remember that one? That was really, I printed it out and I taped it up next to my desk.
That's good. Oh, I'm so happy. I put all these like inspirational things on Twitter, and Morgan Binnix always likes them. Thank you, Morgan. You're such a sweetheart. I hope that they bring you some joy.
No, I always appreciate reading them, and it always makes me feel like, I don't know, like that's like the part of the cast or the like what we're trying to do that's beyond the podcast, if that makes sense. You know,
right.
Like it's not about like you and I talking, right?
Right. It's kind of, it's about the same team y'all philosophy. Mm-hmm. My next stuff that I'm loving is Brett got us a bird feeder. So Brett and I have been toying with the idea of feeding the birds for quite a while. And to be honest, there's a little bird store in our community that's a independently owned store for the caring of wild birds. And we've been in there a few times, and every time we're in there, we have these fantasies of feeding the birds. But the supplies for bird feeding are kind of expensive. I guess it's kind of a luxurious hobby to like, I guess you have to think like, in order to be a person who feeds birds, kind of all of your needs have to be met already for you to start thinking about the needs of random birds in your neighborhood.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so I think that's why the cost is pretty high on a lot of these supplies. Well, Brett has been teleworking for, it's been a year now, and he sets up his computer in, Eric, you'll remember the table that you and I used to sit at to do our podcast.
I think about it every day. I think about it every day.
That is the table that he sits at, and it faces a window. You and I actually saw some birds out that window many a time.
I remember.
And so the birds will visit this balcony that's outside the window where Brett is faced doing his telework. And one day he just decided, I want something to look at. I want some birds to look at. So he went to the store and he bought a bird feeder and he bought a bunch of bird seed and he brought it home. He actually bought two bird feeders and we installed them on the balcony and we've been feeding the birds. And I have to say, it's been a definite stuff I've been loving. It's so cool to watch all of the different kinds of birds. We have lots of different kinds of birds and I don't know what any of them are. That's not true. I know what some of them are, but most of the birds I couldn't identify for you. But birds have like really neat little personalities, or maybe I shouldn't call them, they're birdsonalities. They're not persons, but they do
avialities. Avialities.
They exhibit behavior that we can project human emotions onto. Like there's one little type of bird who comes and they'll puff themselves up and make try to make themselves look tough so that the other birds won't mess with them. And then there's these doves that come and they're super sassy and they're always like looking at you like, what are you doing over there? And then we have some grackles, which I thought were crows, but they're grackles. I guess there are a lot of different types of birds that have all black feathers. And the ones that come and visit our feeder, are grackles. And they're great because they like to call their friends over. So like one of them will show up and he'll eat and then he'll be like, whoa, this is good. And then he'll be like, caw, caw. And then another grackle will come. And then that one will be like, oh man, this is... And I have this joke that they're like, hey, Joe, did you know that there's food over here? Get Cheryl, tell her to come over. Yeah, there's like a whole buffet. And so they're like talking to each other and they're eating. And it's just been really fun to watch the birds.
I really wish that when you did that, a crackle flew in and like just like flew in the frame and like started fluttering all over the place.
So the bird feeder is the stuff I've been loving this past fortnight and watching all those birds eat the seeds.
Can I tell you how much I love your two stuff? Sometimes I'm worried because I know, well, not worried, but maybe worries are, sometimes I contemplate the nature of our loves, that sometimes they are very, for lack of a better word, commercial, right? This TV show, this movie. I've been doing video games for a while. So it's nice to be like, okay, actually, reminder, it could be a dress that my friend made and really great birds, you know? My last stuff is a video game. I'm not going to... So here, this is how I'm going to spin it. Because the game, I don't know how to even start with it. So I'm going to talk instead... I'll mention the game a little bit, but I'm going to focus on the impact of this game on my life.
Okay? All right.
The game is called Death Stranding. Came out on the PS4, give me one second, November of 2019. Okay. And I played through it, finished it, and now I'm replaying it. Essentially, you play as Norman Reedus. Do you know who that actor is?
Yeah, he was in The Walking Dead.
Yeah, you play as Norman Reedus. Well, Norman Reedus is a character in this game.
Wait, is he playing a character or are you literally Norman Reedus?
No, it's Norman Reedus playing a character named Sam Bridges.
Okay.
But it's like him. It's him. Down to like the little hairs on his chinny chin chin. Mads Mikkelsen is in it
too. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh huh. The director Guillermo del Toro lends his likeness. Look at you looking at me in this game.
He's wow.
So I don't think it's his voice, but it's definitely his likeness that is in there. There are cameos by a cameo by Conan and Conan O'Brien shows up in this game. And then there's I feel really bad for not knowing here. Coming, I'm gonna look it up because I feel bad saying here's a guy, and then forget like the girl's name. So I'm gonna look this up because that's not fair for me. Or that's not fair for her, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Although, to be fair to whoever this actress is that you're about to mention, Eric rarely knows the names of any actors or actresses or singers or any famous people. He didn't know who Caitlyn Jenner was. He lives under a rock. So whoever you are, actress that Eric is about to name, please don't feel bad if you ever hear this podcast.
I don't recognize her name, but I recognize her face. Her name is Lea Sado? Sado? Lea Sado? I see she was in Spectre. Anyway, essentially the game is you're delivering packages in a post-apocalyptic world. There's a lot more to it. You've got like a baby strapped to your chest that helps you see creatures from another dimension. Anyway, the influence of this game on my life is that it is very, remember how earlier I talked about slowing things down, right? Have you heard of a genre of games called walking simulator? Have you heard of this? Okay, so essentially, and it sounds...
Simulators.
What?
I'm familiar with the idea of a simulator.
A walking simulator. I don't really like that name because it's a new genre, but it sounds kind of like a dismissive name, right? Like walk, okay. Like it has negative connotations. But essentially, it's a game that is where there's typically no action. You're walking, and the story and the environment drives the game forward. Like that's why you're there. And this game is probably the closest thing to a. And usually, walking sims are usually smaller budgets because it's usually kind of risky to put like a ton of money into this type of game when most games are shooty, shooty, bang, bang type games. You know, that's what you put your money into. So Death Stranding is probably the closest thing to like a AAA walking simulator. Anyway, all that to say is that the gameplay itself is you're delivering packages. So a lot of it is looking out for rocky terrain. You don't want to turn your ankle on a bad rock. Making sure that your pack is fully loaded so that it's not and properly when I mean your pack, like all your packages on your back, and you got these little things where you can attach packages to your shoulders and your legs. Make sure you're not too lopsided because then you might fall over. One of the key controls of the game is your right and left trigger. Have you hold the straps of your back so that if your pack, so that if you're leaning one direction or another, and there's more to it, but essentially it's very slow paced, it's very methodical, and it's very much like it's like a meditative experience, because a large stretches of this game, and most of it is outside. It's basically a hiking simulator. You're outside, the environments are gorgeous, and there's usually no music except for every once in a while something from Low Roar will pop up, or Silent Poets or something like that. Are you still with me?
I'm still with you.
Okay, so this is where I'm at with this game, is that I don't like calling things my favorite of all time, because that's very, very, like, absolute, right? But I will say, I think this game has had the greatest, and I've been playing video games since I was a wee little baby, since I was a tiny little sperm inside my daddy's testicles.
You were playing games even then.
It was incredible. Before I was even I just had one chromosome. You know, I didn't even have the other one. Anyway, it doesn't matter. And this game, I think, has had the greatest impact on my life out of any game I've ever played. And you know, that's like kind of like, what does that mean? Okay, I'm not saying it's the most fun, but I've said before that maybe not everything has to be fun. Okay, so I've 4 points about this game. 1, 2, 3. 4 things about Death Stranding that have taught me about myself as a human being outside of video games, beyond I like to jump on things. No offense, Mario. Okay. Number 1. Most of the game takes place outside. It taught me that most of my life I've been yearning to be outside, and I've been ignoring that yearning by going inside. I know it's ironic because I'm playing a video game, but still, you know. So since I've been replaying it, I've been hiking a whole bunch. And when I say hiking, I mean in the real world, IRL hiking. around where I live, there's hiking spots all over the place. I don't want to brag, but I'm starting to drop some of this daddy weight. I'm outside and I'm all about this new thing called, well, not exercise, just going outside and doing fun things that you are healthy, not making, because I feel like exercise makes that part the job. Number two, and I kind of knew this already, but it affirms my that how important it is, silence. So much of this game, it is your footsteps. It might be a bird. It might be something else. Sam might, he plays a character, Norman Reedus plays a character named Sam. Sam talks to himself sometimes. The baby that's strapped to your chest that I'm not going to get into right now makes baby noises sometimes. He's alive. It's okay. He's like a fetus or something. Don't worry about it. Anyway, number three. This kind of goes with outside walking. Like I said, hiking more. I hiked down to Harper's Ferry there today. It's very exciting. I hiked up a cliff. I got all kinds of stuff and I booked myself. This goes along with outside and walking. I booked myself a professional rock climbing guide and me and two friends from the library are going to go rock climbing in like 2 weeks.
That's so cool.
It's been a dream of mine. My entire life. It's so weird, like the things we do as humans, because being outside and like hiking and climbing rocks and, you know, doing like fun things outside is something I've always wanted to do my entire life. And the only thing stopping me, I guess, was me or my own like, oh, well, I'm home from work. Let me sit down. Man, one day I love to go rock climbing. How do I do that? I don't know. Well, the answer is it takes 30 minutes to do a Google search and then find a guide who's a professional rock climbing guide who will lead you and your friends for money and teach you the ropes while showing you various ropes and stuff like that.
Literal ropes and figurative ropes.
Okay, and then the last way this game has impacted me in a very positive way, and this game is directed and produced by Kojima Productions. So Hideo Kojima, if you're listening, he probably isn't. Thank you very much. And I knew this already, but this is like it further affirms the core part of me underneath. Okay, the core of me underneath all the layers that I've learned about myself from society or defense mechanisms that I've gained or things I think about myself, like the very center, like the truest part of me is that I knew this already, but still helping people. Because a key part of this game, Tess, oh my goodness, this is why it's so special, is you're by yourself in this world. You're hiking. You don't see any other players, but you can place a ladder to get up a cliff, or you can put a rope down to climb down, or you can place a bridge, or there's all kinds of things. You can't see other players, but sometimes you can see their things they've left behind. So your long hike and your challenging climb and your chance of maybe losing your packages is made easier by the help of other people. And you make other players' lives easier by laying stuff down too. Like that's a key part of it. Like, and there's really no way to like mess someone else up, you know what I mean? And it's like really, it's an incredible game. And that's the stuff I'm loving.
Wow, that's a lot.
I know, it's a lot. Tess, that was the abridged version. This game is a something, Tess. This game is a something.
It sounds like a something. I will say I do, I appreciate the fact that you mentioned silence. Mm. Because I feel like in our society, silence is seen as like a bad thing. Like if you're like, oh, what's wrong? You're so quiet. Like, well, maybe I didn't have anything to say. Like, it's okay. Like I was raised, my dad used to always say, if you can't improve upon the silence, then you don't have to try. Like, and so I'm a relatively quiet person, and my husband is a not so quiet person. He's one of these people who likes to always have something kind of going on, like in the background or something like that. And I think that sometimes it kind of weirds him out. Like he'll come home from work or something, and I'm just sitting quietly reading a book, and he'll be like, "What's wrong?" I'm like, "Nothing."
You know,
didn't feel like making any noise.
It's so funny you say that, because I think Amanda's gotten used to it now, but like sometimes she would come home and I'm just like sitting in the dark and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'm just relaxing. I don't need the lights on. I'm closing my eyes, you know."
Yeah. I was so intrigued to find out that there are walking simulators. Because when you mentioned that's a genre of game, I didn't know until somewhat recently that dating simulator is a game. And now I've watched a lot of videos online of people playing dating simulators. And so then I guess it hadn't occurred to me that you could simulate other things.
And really walking simulator, like Death Stranding is probably the first one I played where... And there's more to it. And like I said, some people use the term as like a bad thing. Like, oh, it's a walking sim. I take that as a good thing. Because, like, I was playing the game for, because there is combat. Like, some people try to show up and take your packages.
Oh, okay.
You know, but if you play like me, I don't want to get in a fight. So I just go around them. If you climb up the mountain and go down the other side, they're not going to find you. It's okay. I don't want to hurt anyone over packages. So I avoid combat entirely. I think that's my thing. And like, some people are like, I wish there was more action. I'm like, nah, don't worry about it. But what was I going to say? Oh, but yeah, it's usually like more like one of the most famous ones, or one of my favorite ones, is called Firewatch. Have you heard of this game? Mm-hmm. And it has the voice the main voice actor is one of the actors on the show Mad Men when it was out. So like it got like another star. And I don't remember who it was. And that was essentially a guy was working as a firewatch at a park. So they've got like these big stands, and you're out there in the solitude, like, you know, for a year, just looking, see if there's fires. And like this adult story, like just with mature themes, pans out between him and over the radio of like a woman at another firewatch. And he kind of goes down to like, hey, I think there's, I don't know, some kids having a party down in the woods. You got to break it up, you know, and you walk down there, get out of here, kids. And you go up there, but like, that's all just like, that's just pulling you through the story. Like you're really there for like his relationship with this other person, you know? And I love that because like my main thing with games is always not the main thing is stories. Cause I like Mario games because of the gameplay and there's like almost no story there, but like, I feel like that's like what takes us to that next level, you know? So.
Yeah. And I'm not that much of a gamer, but I also like games with good stories. Cause if Brett is playing a game with a really good story, I will want to like sit with him while he's playing so I can kind of watch it unfold. If he's playing one that doesn't have a good story, I'll just tune it out. And Brett always thinks it's really funny. Like, for instance, when he was playing Far Cry 5, that's probably my favorite one that he played.
Well, because it had the cult in it.
Right. Yeah, and I got really invested in that story. And so I'd be like, oh, you played without me? And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, were there any cutscenes? Like, what happened with Jacob? Did he, you know? And he'd be like, I can't believe you're paying attention to this. Or I told him recently, I said, you know, there's a new Gears of War game. And he's like, yeah, what do you care? And I was like, I want to know what happens to Marcus. Like, you got to play it so that I was like, I really love stories, you know, that's why I
also, and I've never played, I think I played the first Gears a little bit, but doesn't Marcus have a kid now, like a grown-up kid? Yeah.
Not to ruin Gears of War 4 for you, but like, maybe you should revisit, you know? Yeah. Well, that's awesome. Shall we get into the cake challenge?
Can you hear this? Here, wait. Let me turn it this way. Here, wait. I read a little something. Here it is. There it is. That's it.
Cake challenge.
There it is. Cake challenge is our segment where Tessa or I challenge the other one to read, watch, do, consume something in this world. And then they do it, and in theory we eat cake, but we've never eaten cake, so it's just a symbolic cake at this point.
Yeah. At one point we did eat cake, but
we used to a key part was like we would eat cake loudly into the microphone. Yeah. Yeah, now we've upgraded the pizza, we're really classing the join up.
Eric, what did you challenge me to consume?
I challenge you to watch a clip on YouTube. I don't remember the name of it. Give me 1 second. What was it called? Do you remember?
I will tell you. It is, you wanted me to listen to the song Ocean by the artist John Butler, and you specifically wanted me to listen to, I believe it was the 2012 studio version.
Thank you.
Yes, you're welcome. Would you like to ask me if I watched it?
Did you complete the challenge?
I did complete.
Perfect. You know what? Oh, no, that's okay. So I was going to say, so we're this is a newish segment for us, right? And we're trying to figure out, like, what's going on here? Like, is it a, are we trying to find lessons in there? Are we just talking about stuff we love? Are we allowed to say we hate the thing the other person suggested to us? Like, we're still trying to figure it out. And I would say it's whatever we want, you know, it's whatever we want. I will say that I rewatched it today. I had some time when I was at work. It's only 12 minutes long, and I rewatch it, and I have no regrets. Okay.
Well, I'm really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on it. So because I know that you, like we mentioned earlier, live under a rock, and you often tell me, like, you don't know stuff about music. Because I listen to a lot of music, and I just feel like sometimes you compare yourself to me and you say, well, I don't know anything about music. You're the one who knows stuff about music. So I thought it was interesting that you had chosen a piece of music and that I had never heard before. And if you haven't gotten a chance to check out the clip for yourself, he's playing what is actually an 11-string guitar, which I found was very interesting. Six strings is popular. Sometimes people double it for a little more sound, and they'll have a 12-string guitar. And I noticed while I was listening to this gentleman that one of his strings was missing, and it's purposeful. It's not like it broke. He's purposefully playing an 11-string guitar, which I found very interesting. I think my favorite part of the song is when he basically accompanies himself with doing percussion by tapping on the guitar. I will say the first time I listened to it, I was a little disappointed because he was getting to a very intense part of the song and then an ad started playing. And I was really bummed out that I had to watch the ad and it interrupted
the
part of his performance. All in all, I thought it was a really interesting piece of music. I liked it, but I was curious to hear what you think of it.
Okay, is this a case of where you're like, so the challenge last episode, what did we discuss?
Was it The Cabin?
The Cabin. Is it a similar case where you're like watching this and you're like, what is it that Eric wants me to see? Like, what is going on here? Is that it?
And maybe. I did listen to it like 3 or 4 times, and I even had Brett listen to it because Brett actually plays the guitar. And so I thought it might be interesting to get his take on it as well, but he didn't really have any kind of like mind-blowing like takeaways.
Did you watch it as well?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I was just going to say, okay. So
No, I did watch it as well. Yes.
I was about to revoke your challenge. Take that cake right out of your...
When I say that I listened to it, I mean I watched the video several times.
You listened with your eyes as well.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right now, I just suggested it because... So my friend Josie, do you remember Josie?
Of course I remember Josie. I get to see Josie every once in a while. She still works at the library sometimes. She's
a sub? Oh, holy baloney. She getting baby number 3, right?
She sure is. I was just about to tell you. I was like, she's having another baby.
Oh my goodness, that's incredible. Poor Alex. No, I'm joking. I just remember Alex being like, "Yeah, man." He goes, 2 kids is a lot." Well, I'm not good at math, but anyway, she suggested to me because you know this. Josie and I used to do the our mindful story times at our library that we used to work at, and so we were always talking about similar things that you and I are always talking about, right? Like, oh, this is what I like to do to relax. This is what I zen out, and you know, blah, blah, blah. And she suggested this video to me because she was like, sometimes her and her husband, Alex, just sit and watch him because they get really into, it's John Butler, right? Mm-hmm. They get into how much John Butler gets into it, like how he's like into the music. He's like, he's there doing it, right? And how intense it gets. And so that's a part of it. Like, I was like, this is really great. The music itself is really good too, but it's like, it's this a thing? This is the thing though, is like, if I walk past John Butler, or if anyone walk past John Butler on the street, I would just see just a guy, right? Just a guy. And maybe I might even have judgments about him. He got some long old thumbnails, which we now know are for like doing guitar stuff. He got big old tears in his pants. His beard's all scraggly. His hair's you might have judgments about him, but to me, and you know, I'm not a music expert, but to me personally, like I feel like he made something beautiful, and I would never like, well, not that I would know, but like, I don't know what people are capable of, you know? So like, I like that video and it like kind of brings me, sometimes I just meditate on it too. I just listen, not just with my eyes. And you do that thing where for 12 minutes and 4 seconds or whatever, you just like listen to it. Mm-hmm. The only thing that has always bothered me a little bit is because it ends so abruptly. You know what I mean? Like it, and I'm like, oof, that hurts a little bit. Give me some resolution, John.
Well, I was actually, one of the things I was, when you're like consuming the cake challenge and you're wondering what the other person wants you to get out of it, I wondered if the fact that he's so into it was one of your contributing factors. I will say, Brett is a musician. And he plays the guitar and he's really into the guitar. And through him, I have been introduced to a lot of guitarists. And I will say the being really into the music that you're making is something that I see a lot from these other guitarists. And actually, when I was watching it, I was thinking, well, he's really into it, but he's not like as into it as some other musicians. Like there's a part where you can see that he's moving his mouth along, like as he's playing, he's also moving his mouth, which is something that Brett does when he plays the guitar. A lot of guitarists do it. And there's this one particular guitarist named Steve Vai, and he has like a whole, like his face is telling like a whole story of the song. And like, I don't even want to like try to do an impersonation of the faces that he makes. I'm going to send you, after this episode, I'm going to send you those Sigur Rós songs. And I'm also going to send you a Steve Vai a video so that you can see this man's face while he's playing guitar. Because if you like people being into music, you should definitely watch it.
I like people being like really into what they're doing right now, you know? So I think I'm going to be really into this guy's many faces.
Yeah. And as for it ending abruptly, another thing that I like to do when I'm listening to one of these guitarists is I will look at the title of the song and I will see if like the music evokes that title for me. Like, so for instance, there's a guitarist that Brett really likes named Joe Satriani, and he has a song called Flying. And I remember, this might have been the moment that Brett fell in love with me. I don't know. I remember he played me that song one time and he didn't tell me what the title was. He just played me the song. And I said, this song makes me think about flying. And he was like, what? And so while I was listening to the song Ocean, I was thinking about the ocean. And I was thinking about how sometimes the ocean can be very calm and relaxing. And sometimes the ocean can be very destructive and kind of scary. And I was thinking like that abrupt ending is almost like the ocean being destructive and having like one of those kind of rough moments of the ocean.
It definitely gets kind of, it's like starts kind of slow and then it picks up. And then do you think, not to get like too into it, but that abrupt ending, do you think that's the ocean killing the listener of the music.
Could be.
Like the music ended.
Yeah, honestly, like that's what I was thinking. I was like, maybe that is in a way his story of the ocean, is that like sometimes it can be this like peaceful sound, and sometimes it's this really intense sound, and sometimes it goes back and forth, and then sometimes you're out there and then, sorry buddy, it's the end. The ocean is more powerful than we are.
Yeah. I mean we don't think about it too, or at least I don't think about it too often, but we all came from the ocean, right?
That's true.
I'm ready to accept the challenge.
Okay. Would you like to watch a movie?
You know what is so funny? I was going to ask you, because I've already got my next one lined up, and boy, is it a doozy. And I was going to ask you if movies are allowed on the table, is what I was going
to
ask.
Well, I think so, because it takes about 2 hours to watch a movie. I don't feel like that's too much of a time commitment. What do you think?
I think so. Just we're making up the rules right now, right?
Yeah.
I think clips on YouTube are fine. I think children's books are fine. I don't know. We'll have to have a discussion about full on big boy books, you know?
Yeah.
We
might be able to do like read the first couple chapters of a big boy book or something.
Yeah. But I think movies and TV shows, I think movies are definitely fine. Yeah. I'm excited about this. What is it? I'm writing it down.
All right. So the title of the movie is Hearts Beat Loud. Have you ever seen this movie?
No. By the way, real quick.
Yeah.
One day, one of us is going to issue a challenge and be like all excited and proud. And I'm going to like, Tess, you need to watch. And you're going to be like, so I watched it already. So then in that case, like we should always have like a backup plan that we keep in our back pocket. But I've never heard this. Hearts Beat Loud?
Hearts Beat Loud is the title of the movie. And you can watch it on Hoopla.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably get a DVD from the library as well if you would prefer to watch it that way, but or a Blu-ray, depending on what your library has available. But it is available on Hoopla. That is how I watched it. Hoopla, by the way, if anyone out there listening is curious, it's a streaming service that libraries provide for free for people. And so the reason I'm just going to give you a little background. I won't tell you too much. I'm not going to tell you too much.
Tess,
but
I want to go in blind as a little baby.
Oh, you don't want me to tell you anything.
You can tell me. This is what I would, because you know me. I'm all about, I like going in without anything. You can tell me 5 words. That's it.
Okay.
Five words.
I can do it in 3 words.
Oh, wait. Okay. I can do it in 2 words.
Ready?
Okay, go. Okay.
Daddy daughter movie.
I'm writing that down.
Now, me and my dad used to have daddy daughter movies, and they didn't necessarily have to be about daddies and daughters, but when they were, it was even more special. Your daughter is still very young. So you guys can experience movies together, but it might be a while until you guys can like have like conversations about them.
I will tell you, so I agree. Like we watch movies together and we're kind of sometimes we're on the same wavelength and sometimes we're not, right? Like for example, when we watch Spaceballs together, I'm getting something different out of it than she is, but we're both kind of getting laughs. Like she likes Spaceballs.
Yeah.
There is one movie that we definitely have sat down and watched like beginning to end, watching together, and we've had conversations about before, but I'm saving that because that's a tale for another time.
Okay. All right. Well, this is probably not a movie you want to watch with your daughter. Not necessarily because it's like bad. I think it's rated PG-13. It's just not going to be interesting to a child as young as Freya. So it'll be something you watch on your own, but
what are you doing? I gave you 5 words.
Just say there's daddies and daughters. That's all.
Okay. Knock it off, sister. Jeez Louise, I want to go as blind as a little baby.
All right.
Have you learned any life lessons?
I have.
Did you learn a life lesson this week?
I did.
That's great. let's talk about it.
Okay. Okay, what's your life lesson this episode, Mustas?
Oh, sometimes I feel like the life lessons are fully formed. Like sometimes, you know, like sometimes you have an epiphany and you're like, oh my God, that's my life lesson. And then sometimes they're just things that you're kind of ruminating on, you're still workshopping. And that is today's lesson. And the thing that I've been ruminating on and trying to figure out how I feel about it is, and you and I, Eric, of course, have talked a lot about the stories that we all tell. And just because something is acceptable by society doesn't mean that it's necessarily right. It's really a story that someone else told, and we all just choose to go along with it. And I've been thinking about popular sayings lately. And I was thinking, like, who came up with those sayings? And then who decided that those sayings were correct? Now, a lot of, like, popular sayings, like, they make sense. And that's why they became popular sayings. But just because it's a popular saying doesn't necessarily mean that you have to take it at face value and judge everything by it. And there are, for instance, the saying, great minds think alike, is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, because I was thinking, what if great minds think differently? Like, what if, because the saying great minds think a lot is basically a way to give yourself a compliment. So like when someone agrees with you, you say, oh, great minds think alike. We both this thing. We both have great minds.
We both did the same thing.
Right. Yeah. And I thought maybe it would be better if the saying was great minds think differently, because then when you heard someone say something that you don't agree, your like knee jerk reaction is, oh, I don't like that. But maybe your reaction instead could be like, wow, what a great mind to have thought something so different. Maybe I should think about that thing too. And another saying that I've been thinking about a lot lately is the golden rule. Treat people the way you want to be treated, which I feel like, okay, that makes sense. But then I kept thinking about it and I thought, what if instead we treated people the way they wanted to be treated? Like, what if instead of thinking about ourselves, because again, it's a self-centered thought, treat people the way you want to be treated. And when we say it, we mean, you know, treat them with courtesy, treat them civilly, treat them with dignity, the way that you would want to be treated. But at the foundation, it's a very self-centered thought. And I thought, maybe we should be thinking about the other person. Maybe we should be thinking about their needs.
Okay, we need to explore this. This is a great idea. So Tess, you know this, that for years now, I've been trying to boil down like this thought, right? Like this stuff that we're talking about. And one of the key parts to me is shifting your perspective from being ego focused inside of it, right? Like treat others like you want to be treated. And like you said, maybe treat them how they want to. You're not the center of this story, right? You know? And this makes me think of a perfect example. I was reading something the other day about, it dealt with talking to other men about feminist issues, like how do you do that, you know, because it might be awkward or people might have different opinions. And this article was talking about how often some guys frame the conversation of feminism through like their own lens. So for example, you might have heard this, like, well, you wouldn't want that to happen to your daughter, right? So it's almost like this weird idea, like, okay, so, oh, I'll care about all women because now I own a woman, right? You know what I mean? So it's like almost like if you shift it, like instead of it being like, well, why should I care? Oh, well, because now it would affect me, as opposed to like, well, maybe I should just care anyway, right? In fact, in many ways, I think what I just said is kind of like the same thing, right? Instead of being like, treat them the way you would like to be, is another way of saying treat women the same way you would want your daughter be treated. Instead, you should be like, maybe treat them the way they want to be treated. In fact, they almost line up perfectly, Tess. We're geniuses.
They really do. Yeah. I mean, so now I'm like, every time I hear like a popular saying, I'm starting to wonder, like, you know, is that really the thought that we should be propagating? Or maybe do we need to rethink all of these popular sayings? And because I, at least the ones that are self-centered, because I think, and it's never, I don't feel like people say these things with the intention of pushing themselves forward and other people back.
Yeah.
But in a way, like, the more you think those thoughts, the less you're entertaining other thoughts. And I think that it's important to entertain all of the thoughts.
Yeah. Well, I think sometimes, and right now I'm failing to come up with an example, but I think sometimes if something's a catchy saying or it rhymes, people repeat it as if it's like true. And I often, like, I try to remind myself, like, just because something rhymes doesn't mean that it's a fact. And right now, of course, I can't come up with an example off the top of my head. And anyone listening might be like, oh, of course, this one. But, you know, like, I think you bring up a really good point of, like, examine. And this goes along with the same path as examining things that we're doing or that affect our lives that we might not realize it, that are just known things, you know?
Like, another saying that a lot of people say is, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I know that when people say that, they're trying to, like, inspire you, like, because you went through this horrible thing, you're going to be better for it because you've learned important lessons or what have you, or you've developed coping mechanisms that's going to serve you going forward. And so, again, like, I don't think people say it with the intention of being selfish. But when I hear that saying, I think what doesn't kill me makes me wish I was dead. Like, whatever it is that isn't killing me is apparently so bad that, like, you know, we're comparing it to death. And let's acknowledge that. Let's acknowledge, like, when something's bad, let's just acknowledge that it's bad instead of trying to kind of sugarcoat it and say, and like try, I mean, and I'm all for looking on the bright side of things and trying to find positive things and, you know, looking for the silver lining, what have you, again, more euphemisms, but, and I'm all for that, but I also feel like there's a lot of value in just acknowledging when things are bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because I think sometimes when, and we talked about this, I think last week, sometimes I think if we say something like, oh, well, let's focus on the good and let's keep our mind on the positive, that means like ignore the bad, right? Or, you know, don't ignore the bad, pretend it doesn't exist or sugarcoat it. But that's not, I don't think, what we are saying. You can focus on the good and still ignore it and still see the bad things out there and know, or things that you perceive to be bad, you know?
Yeah, so. I think what you and I have been saying all along is to look for stuff that you love. It doesn't mean that you should ignore everything bad in your life. You should also acknowledge that there are good things, because I think when you get into a negative mindset, then like everything just seems bad, everything seems negative, and you stop looking for those little beams of sunlight.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, just a quick side note, is talking to our
friend. Speaking of sunlight.
I was talking to our friend Jill, and she told me that she had been typing to a friend, because we're doing a lot of typing to our friends these days because we're not seeing our friends as much. She was typing to them that she was sending them beams of love and kindness, like sunbeams of love and kindness. But she had spelled it beans, like
love, like, beans.
Yeah. And she was like, now I just think of like love and kindness beans. And I wonder, she's like, I kind of like that too, because it's almost like you plant a little bean and maybe a loving kindness stalk will grow out of
like,
it.
like kidney beans, like in your salad. You're like, oh man, love beans.
Just thinking of garbanzo beans.
Oh man, I love garbanzo beans.
But yeah, it's not that the bad things stopped existing. It's that you don't always have to think about them. And in fact, when you're looking for other things to think about, you may realize that negative thing isn't so bad after all.
Here's a perfect example. I was on my way home from work today, and I'm driving, and there's a man putting cones across the road, stopping it. I'm on my way home. I had a long day at work. I'm ready to go home. He's putting cones across the road. I pull up closer. There's a big fire truck and an ambulance and a car on the side of the ditch. It's real easy to look at that and be like, oh man, poor me, my day has been ruined. And I know it sounds silly when I say it like that, but if anyone's listening, take a moment and realize we probably have all done that, right? Like without even, oh my goodness, this happened. My day couldn't get worse. I can't wait to tell Amanda about my day where I was stuck in traffic. It's crazy. But so that's focus on the bad. Focus on the good. You weren't in an accident. You know what I mean? What is life like for them? I mean, there was an ambulance, you know, and just like anything, by practicing, that's how you get used to, you're reworking those old thought processes, right? Of I found a bad thing and now let me focus on it. Let me complain about it. You're reworking that. So then now it becomes a habit of seeing the good and seeing, oh, I'm glad I was an accident. The next step after that too is I'm glad I'm not an accident. And now I'm also caring about them and seeing these people beyond just an obstacle on my way home from work. And I know it sounds silly when I say it like that, but it's true. Like somehow like these things, like we have a way of like dehumanizing people, you know, where it's like, oh, this, look at all the people, how many times we've done this. I'm in the grocery store. Look at this line. Look at all these stupid people in front of me. Well, guess what? You're one of the stupid people in front of that person, you know? And it's easy to be like, it's me. And I think if we've talked about this, once again, if we were to boil it down, I think it's this big old idea. It's the fact of taking your focus from like you and seeing everything through your own eyes and then seeing the world through other eyes or through, I would say through the actual lens of reality, you know, if that makes sense.
It does make sense. Yeah. And that was my life lesson this fortnight. But I feel like I'm still working through it. Like when I was thinking about our podcast today, I was like, I wonder if I'm going to be able to articulate this idea that I've been like lingering over for a while.
Yes, that is literally, well, maybe not literally, that is a great majority of my thought process of being like, I'm on the edge of something. And I wasn't joking. Like I spent years like, what am I thinking? What am I trying to say? And the other day I was like, I think the problem is language. I was like, if we had more words for like connection and where, you know, because you know, you hear about cultures where it's like they have 100 words for ice or whatnot. And they have words for this. And there are words in other cultures that we don't even have. And since we don't have the word, we have no way to articulate that particular idea. And if we had more words, we could say more of the things we've got inside of us. Instead of saying that sucks, right?
Right, right.
Tess, why have I been cursed with such a burden?
Should we pause for positivity?
Thank you so much. I forgot what our next thing was. We always end each and every one of our episodes with a positivity pause, where we like to take a moment to say something that we're thankful for and something that we love about ourselves, and we invite our listeners to do the same.
So Eric, what's something you are grateful for?
Oh, this one I am excited about.
Oh yeah?
A thing that I'm grateful for is that this Monday coming up is gonna be Freya's first day in person in school. That's wow. Very exciting.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. cool. Is Freya excited? Does she know what's coming?
I think she does know. It's so hard because it's hard to tell like what she really understands. We've been trying to talk to her, and here's the deal. Like, so she's just turned 4 at the end of January. So she's a little girl. She getting on the bus, Tess. Because Yeah, so for listeners, Freya's gonna, the entire reason Amanda and I moved was so that we can go up north And Amanda, Frey can attend Maryland School for the Deaf because she's hard of hearing. She wears hearing aids. And so the rules are a little bit different at MSD. Is that like, you know, normally you don't go on to the, you don't go on a bus till you're older and kindergarten and preschool. I don't know how any of that works. But like at MSD, you're just, you're in school. You go there, you know, and she'll start on Monday. And then it's like a hybrid learning type thing. I think it's like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday in person all day. No naps, which she doesn't really take too often, but still. And then Thursday virtual. And then I think the next week we're off because of spring break, which is inconvenient, but that's fine. And I know there's a lot of opinions out there about like, should we open schools? Should we close schools? I just know for me personally, I am very excited about this decision. And if anyone wishes schools stay closed, that's, you're entitled to your opinion. But also, I'm not the one that makes that decision. So I also honor the very, I mean, here's the deal. No matter what you decide, people are going to be mad at you. So respect to whoever is making those decisions for the different school boards, you know, so.
Hey, well, I, first of all, I'm very excited for Freya. I'm also very excited for you because I have been thinking a lot about how you and Amanda upended your basically everything, you know, your jobs, your home, everything, so that Freya can go to school, and then you get up there and she can't go to school. So I'm so happy that you guys are finally like fulfilling this goal that you've had. And I'm excited for Freya to be in school. And this sounds weird for a podcast where we talk about everyone should get along with everybody, but with kids who are like her.
Yes.
And so she's gonna be able to like share that experience with other children. And I think that will probably be very valuable for her. And so I'm excited for that too.
We did have, so here's the deal. Like we could do, we're a tangent friendly podcast, right? Is there is a thing, and I think I've talked to you about this before in the deaf community about like deaf as in like your medical, your, how you, your level of hearing, or deaf as in the culture you belong to, little D versus capital D. And some people have often asked me as a dad, why do we refer to Freya as hard of hearing instead of deaf? And the answer has always been, well, because medically speaking, she's hard of hearing. She has less hearing than others, but she does have hearing. So she's not completely deaf. If she grows up and decides to say I'm deaf, that's fine, because that's a thing that some people do, and that's perfectly fine. I had a conversation about this heady subject with Freya the other day, like culture. Wow. And I know. This is, sometimes I think to myself, like, I'm doing a pretty good job as a dad. We had a conversation about this, about like what it means to be deaf. And some people say deaf, and some people say hard of hearing, and I'm hearing, but she's hard of hearing, and I'm her dad, and you know, that's why you wear hearing aids. And she told me this. So if anyone asks, I can say, because we've always decided it's up to Freya. Freya decides, she told me, Daddy, she said, I'm not deaf. She goes, because I can hear and I talk, is what she told me. Because a lot of times, you know, if you're deaf or hard of hearing, you may decide not to verbalize, you know? And so she had decided. And one day that may change. But if anyone asks, I'd be like, I let her decide. And she now knows like enough of a distinction that she decided to make that choice herself. So I don't know that.
I will say, since we're on this tangent, I think about Freya a lot. I hope you're not weirded out by that.
But, not at all.
I watched a reality show on Netflix about students at Gallaudet University, and Gallaudet University is a school for people who are deaf or have a hearing impairment or however you choose to identify. The thing that really struck me about that series, so the name of this series is Deaf U, as in U for University, and it follows a group of students through their year at Gallaudet, and they have kind of varying levels. Like some of the kids were born deaf and their parents are also deaf. Some of the kids, maybe they suffered an injury and they lost their hearing. And so for all intents and purposes, they sound like you and I, but they also sign. And then there are some kids who have hearing aids and some kids who don't have hearing aids, and there are some kids who had hearing aids and then chose to just stop wearing them. And there's a lot of judgment.
Yes.
That goes on in the community. And I was watching this and I was thinking about little Freya, and I was like, I hope that she'll be okay as she gets older and she navigates this culture and this community and finds her place in it. Because there were some, like, there's this group of girls in the college that thought they were better than all of the other girls because they have been deaf their whole lives, and their parents are also deaf and their grandparents were deaf. And they, I think they called themselves the elites, and they were kind of like looking down on the other girls who maybe were living that experience in a different way.
Yeah.
And oh man, and just like the other thing that really struck me about it is they're going through all of the things that kids just go through when they're in college. Like they were going to, oh, my boyfriend kissed that other girl at that party and I'm really upset about it. And, but there's like this added layer onto it of them like navigating the world with a disability and also within the community of the people who also have this disability, who are casting judgment and aspersions upon them. And I mean, it was almost overwhelming for me. And I don't actually have a relationship with Freya really, like, other than I'm friends with her dad. But I was watching this and I was so emotionally affected by it. And so what I'm just trying to say is I hope that Freya has a really good time at school.
Yeah, we're nervous too, because it's just like any other school. Kids are going to find things to be judgmental about, and deaf community is no different than any other community. There are people in there that see themselves as better than others. And yeah, we had heard stories of, not specifically Gallaudet, but one of the campuses at MSD, of like kids that were either hard of hearing or chose to wear hearing aids, because that's also and I think it's
a lot of people have opinions about.
Yeah, and I think it's less of, and once again, I'm still trying to hammer out the details of this idea, because I think it's less to do with the hearing aids itself, but somehow the having opinions about hearing aids, having opinions about schools closing, having opinions about the fact that I like this movie and you don't, the fact that this person likes Snickers bars and says they're the best, and anyone who doesn't eat Snickers bars is an idiot, or this person who says avocado toast is for idiots, and if you like avocado toast, you're an idiot. I haven't figured it out yet, Tess, but there's some kind of, I need a unifying theory about this, because there's something there that it's almost tangible. But anyway, that's a side story. But yeah, it's something we worried about. But at the end of the day, it came down to, we wanted Freya to be able to go to school without us, if she ever had a hard time in school, not thinking it was due to hearing, right? And that was basically it. And then also with her being hard of hearing, there is a very good chance, I don't know the exact percentage, that her hearing could degrade later. And we've talked to a couple of people that at the schools that they had a certain level of hearing when they were younger. And then by the time, and sometimes it's not even like when they were younger, but like they're in high school, past high school, and it just goes away, you know? And we decided that it's better to at least put her in a group where she can learn signs, so she doesn't have to learn it as an adult, you know?
Yeah.
So, but no, I completely agree. We haven't watched that movie because we heard all about it. So yeah, I did. Yeah. I knew of it and we heard about it through all of our Facebook groups. And we decided we weren't ready to watch that.
And I think I texted you and I was like, there's this show, but I don't know if you want to watch it. I feel like I should tell you about it, but then also you're a dad and I don't know.
I'm going to be lucky if I handle her getting on the school bus on Monday, you know. What's something you're thankful for, Tess?
I am thankful for my husband, Brett. Specifically the fact that he is a really good caretaker. I feel like not all partners are good caretakers, and I'm really lucky because Brett is really, like, if I am in need of care, he kind of jumps into that role, like, head first, like, what do you need? Let me get it for you. So I specifically am thankful that he has that like caretaker tendency, and also that he's comfortable in the kitchen, because I am uncomfortable in the kitchen for there's a big explanation that goes into that that we don't need to go into. But I like, if I was left to my own devices, I would just eat like freezer meals and peanut butter sandwiches. And but because Brett is comfortable in the kitchen and comfortable as a caretaker, he makes meals for us and he doesn't mind that. And I'm really super grateful for that. Cause I think there are some guys who maybe like fall into that, like, oh, that's like a gender role. Women belong in the kitchen and men belong like making the money. And Brett doesn't care about that kind
good,
of stuff.
Good so. For him. Yeah. I know Amanda and I, there's especially when before I got my master's or an actual job with benefits where she was the main breadwinner of the household, and that was fine to me, but I know like for some guys that would really, really burn their biscuits. So listeners, we encourage you to take a moment to say something that you are thankful for right now. What are you laughing about?
When you like scooted down to do this, it reminded me of your serious face.
Oh, the like the intense face.
Yeah, I did that to Elizabeth the other day. She was telling me something, and I was like, wait, and she was like, oh no, don't turn into Eric now. She's like, when he would do that, I would just like completely lose my train of thought.
I've started doing it to some of my friends at my new job, and it like always, they're like, what are you doing? Stop looking at me like that. Tess, what's something you love about yourself?
Something that I love about myself is...
I see you looking around.
Well, no. Something that I have remembered now that we're back doing business at the library, something that I had kind of forgotten about myself that I remembered, is that I love that I'm really good at guessing what book you're looking for. Because, you know, sometimes at the library, and I'm sure you've encountered this many times, Eric, people will come approach you and you'll say, oh, can I help you find something? And they'll say, yeah, actually, there's this book I want to read. I don't know the title and I don't know the author. And then I will say, well, can you describe the book to me? Like, do you remember what any of the characters' jobs were? Do you remember any names? Do you remember what the cover looked like? Was it a specific color? Was there anything? And I am really good at guessing what book you're looking for. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's a, I don't know if it's like something I just love about myself, because it's obviously like a skill I've cultivated over time, being that's able okay. to kinda like be able to like apply the right search terms into the right search engines in order to find the books that you're looking for. But it always brings me such satisfaction when someone's like, you're probably not going to be able to find it.
And you're then, like, challenge accepted.
And then I turn the screen around and I'm like, is this your book? And they're like, oh, why, yes, that is the book I'm looking for. And yeah.
I am.
What's something you love about yourself, Eric?
I love, and once again, like not to, I think I've taken this for granted most of my life, but I love that I genuinely get pleasure. And I don't get, I get pleasure from helping people, and I do not receive pleasure from hurting or inconveniencing others. And it's, don't get me wrong, like sometimes there's like, if a guy, I don't know, I'm trying to think about something, you're driving and then the person's like right on your tail, and then you're like, oh, I should put my brakes on to really get them. That's not something that comes naturally to me. Like, I don't naturally think that. I'm usually like, oh, they're probably rushing. You know, they need to get somewhere and I can't go anywhere because there's a guy in front of me and he's stuck, just like I'm stuck behind this guy. And I'm learning that's not a natural tendency of most people. And once, not to bring it back to Death Stranding, but like, I spend a lot of time playing that game, not even delivering packages for myself, but just laying routes over mountains for other players, laying ladders and ropes, and you can set up zip lines. It's not easy. You got to climb that mountain and set up that zip line. And I get pleasure just knowing that someone else, because it will tell you like if someone used it, and you can, there's like a system where like people can award, like it's this interesting future where likes. Well, anyway, they can award likes to your devices. And so you're like, ooh, this many people used my item. It made their job easier. And anyway, that's a thing that I love about myself.
Nice. Listeners, take a moment and think about something that you really love about yourself. We like that about you too.
We do. Yeah. Yeah. We like it a lot. This has been episode number 59 of our podcast. If you'd like to follow us on Twitter, Tess does a great job of curating and sending out wonderful tweets. That Twitter handle is
at same team, y'all.
Yeah. And if you'll ever like to send us an email, we would like to read it. That email is sameteamyall@gmail.com. If you've got a stuff you're loving, a life lesson you've learned, or I don't think I ever asked this, I would love it if we got a quote from one of you. That'd be really great too.
If you did the cake challenge and you had some thoughts about, for instance, the movie Hearts Beat Loud, which we'll be discussing next week, feel free to send those along too.
Can I ask you this? Hearts Beat Loud, is it going to make me happy or sad or both? Look at you. Okay. That's right. Technically, of two more words you're allowed to use.
Don't know.
Get out of here. We would love it if you gave us a rating or a review. Tess, I don't want to bum you out, but you know how long it's been since we've gotten a review on our podcast? It's been a long time. Let's just say it's been a long time. And I don't think it's due to quality. It's probably just because we stopped recording for about half of that year. But we would love it if you sent us a review or a rating on whatever that you are listening to us on, because that would help us, other people find us, I think. Maybe that's how that's work. Thank you so much for listening. And remember, we love you.
Not in a creepy way.